sent from his throne above. He came to change his world through love. He came humbly, he came to serve. He'll come again to rule this earth. Hallelujah, the Lord has come. And hallelujah, the Lord has come. Hallelujah, the Lord has come. Emmanuel, our God is with us.
You're listening to Thursday Night Live at Calvary Chapel, St. Paul. Calvary Chapel, St. Paul is a fellowship of believers committed to a fourfold style of ministry. We seek to reach, teach, mend, and send. Each Thursday Night Live service involves a time of intimate worship, an in-depth study of God's Word, and a time of afterglow and leading of the Holy Spirit. And now, here is Thursday Night Live.
All right, put the card up there, Caleb. All right, hey. So don't fill this card out. Get this card, but give me this information so I can add you to for 2025's cheese and salami directory. So right now there's only 6 people who are on the email list and the church directory for 2025. So you either need to get a lot of cheese and salami, or you need to talk to some other people around you about get this information. So go to the church website, go to the email address, give me this information so I can update your contact information, an actual physical address, and interesting, we have some people who watch online throughout the state of Minnesota and a few other places, and they've sent their information in. Okay, then.
You ask and you receive.
Okay. All right. You better have cheese and salami. You better have cheese and salami. Extra sharp cheddar cheese, hard salami. You better have it, but
not summer sausage.
Summer sausage is not salami. Summer. Say again? That's cheddar, right? Yeah, I'm no respecters of cheese. All right. So, Lord, so let's pray. Get things to come. And then, Wyatt, you want to give me that book there? All right. So, I want to help some people out there. Get this book, Things to Come. And if I would have shown Wyatt that it was this thick, he might not have gotten it, but there's a lot of information here, and it's not a novel. It's not easy reading. It breaks it up there. You ready, man? There you go. There you go. Things to come. All right. Hey, turn your Bibles to Revelation chapter 17. Turn that over there. We're good to go. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this evening and this opportunity to come before you and to give you this time. And God, may we leave here today more on fire, more convicted, more committed, more submitted, more in love with you than when we came here this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, if you didn't take notes last week, I'll give you your notes this week, your homework this week. If you wanted to, read it every day or at least a couple of times or at least once before you got here. Isaiah chapters 13 and 14. So for those of you tuning in tonight, Isaiah chapters 13 and 14, Jeremiah chapter 50 and 51, and then Revelation chapters 17 and 18, and why not just get Zechariah chapter 5 in there? So the way that I'm going to approach this tonight, that is that you have already read chapters 17 and 18, that you've already read Isaiah 13 and 14 and Jeremiah 50 and 51. And so I'm just going to bring this through here. So in Revelation 18:3, it says, "Whoa, whoa, the great city Babylon, the strong city, for in 1 hour judgment has come." The thing that we're going to discover here, or that you should discover, is that the book of Revelation, there's nothing new in it. All Old Testament. And we're going to go through, again, I only gave you 6 chapters to read for homework, but we're going to see this a lot. So if you've read through Isaiah 13 and 14, if you've read through Jeremiah 50, 51, and you've read Revelation chapter 17 and 18, if you're listening online later and listen to this message some other time, stop right now, go read those, and then come back. Okay, welcome back. So this is the thing. By the time put it this way, Babylon, remember what you're going to get with Things to Come, that book by Dwight Pentecost. Understand that we're taking the grammatical, historical, literal interpretation of God's word. One of the chapters in there, maybe it's third or fourth chapter, it comes to methods of interpretation. And you're going to see, if you read through it now, the Bible, that, and when you might go back to some people that you might have listened to years earlier and realize, hey, wait a minute, they were teaching an allegorical method. They were making things all allegory or metaphors or similitudes, or these are just, you know, principles, but these things really didn't exist. And so here, aside from Israel and Jerusalem, Babylon, if you're taking notes, Babylon is mentioned 280 times. It is the second most mentioned country in the Bible. All right, and it's only second to Israel, and Jerusalem's mentioned even more, but as a country, Babylon. So if it's mentioned that many times, and Israel is mentioned a billion times, then it really must be that you were taking that this is a literal Babylon. The questions can be solved by answering the question whether or not biblical references to Babylon should be understood literally. Now, spoiler alert, I do. I take it literally, all right? But I believe that there are, again, the Bible mentions Babylon over 280 times, and many of those references are to the future of Babylon. That is rising from, again, the sands of the desert today. In fact, the next, again, as I said, this is before, is in fact next to Jerusalem. Babylon is the second most frequently mentioned city in the Bible. But what is its prophetic destiny? So if you did your homework in Isaiah 13 and 14 and Jeremiah 50 and 51, have those things come to pass? Have those prophecies come to pass? The answer is no. So but if you've read that, you read through that and like, wait a minute, it's talking about something yet future. Now, remember that there's a musician. He's a country musician, and he's making the circuit now on secular radio shows or podcasts, and he's going around saying, listen, there is no rapture of the church, and there is no Antichrist. There's no Antichrist. His thing was for a while is Antichrist isn't mentioned in the book of Revelation. You are correct, sir. It's mentioned in 1 John. But the Antichrist, and Jesus mentions the Antichrist, and what happened we see through the book of Revelation. And remember this, the book of Revelation is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Very good. It's the apocalypse there. All right, the apocalypto, the revealing. So the ancient city of Babylon, shortly after the flood. So now let's just look at Babylon. Babylon, shortly after the flood, is an expression of man's rebellion against God and his command to be fruitful and multiply the earth. Genesis chapter 9, verse 1. Thus, the kingdom of man began in Babylon as a direct act of rebellion against God. God intervenes and scatters the rebellious mankind, again, confusing them with their many tongues. This is Nimrod saying, hey, let's build a tower up to God, and we will be like God, and we'll be able to reach him. And God's looking at us and says, we don't stop him. Something's going to happen here. They're not going to think they're going to be able to, anything's going to stop them. And so then he gives, and that's what Tower of Babel is. They're Babel, their language, and they couldn't communicate. So Nimrod's city, because of God's judgment upon them, we see that in Genesis chapter 11, verses 1 through 9. Babel was humanity's, I'm going to be reading some quotes here, Babel was humanity's first united attempt to short-circuit God's purpose. This first post-flood was city was designed expressly to thwart God's plan for humankind. The people wanted unity and power, and Babel was the seed of that power. Babylon, the city of man trying to rise to heaven, was built in direct opposition to God's plan. Listen, if you're taking notes, in rebellion to God and into rebellion of God's plan, it's not going to work out for you. I will show you my scars later. My body is full of scars of in direct opposition to God's plan. Babylon was against this forefront that when God sent the southern kingdom, when he sent Babylon to the southern kingdom to take him into captivity, because what happened with Judah? For 70 years, they're going to be in exile for 70 years. And why? Well, because for 490 years, they did not practice the Sabbath year of rest. So God says, you owe me 70. You owe me 70. And so they came and they took him away. And we see that again in Daniel chapters 2 and 7. We see further explanation of that. Babylon is the first of the four great kingdoms to arise during the times of the Gentiles. And again, Daniel chapter 2 and 7. History reveals that Babylon declined until it was abandoned about two centuries, that's 200 years, after Christ. So in other words, understand this, the homework I gave last week, read through the Isaiah 13, 14, Jeremiah 50, 51, those things never happened. Have still never happened. Those prophecies have still never happened. Okay, well, Babylon was left in ruins, but Babylon, as we're going to see here in chapter 17 and 18 of Revelation, was never utterly destroyed. And so we see this, and it came in decline. Babylon sunk beneath, again, the sands of time. And so we need to watch for a Babylon to be dominant force in the world religiously, commercially, and governmentally. From Revelation 17 and 18 predicts the destruction of that city, and in order to be the city those prophecies require, it must be rebuilt in a grand scale, like in the days of Nebuchadnezzar. And you're thinking, how could that be? This is 2025, right? And all you've ever known is Israel has existed. In your lifetime, Israel has been a nation since May 14th, has been in existence. So you've known it. But if you get your Haley's Bible handbook that was written in 1923 and then 25 and 29 and in the 30s, Brother Haley, and if you read his commentary on 2 Thessalonians about the rapture of the church, and that before the rapture of the church happens, a lot of prophecy has to happen. And before the Lord's return, the day of the Lord, remember, the rapture is not the day of the Lord. All right, and so before that happens, the church is raptured out. And what has to happen for the day of the Lord? Well, there has to be a temple, because there has to be a seven-year tribulation period, as Daniel tells us, as all through Isaiah tells us, but Isaiah 13 and 14 and Jeremiah 50 and 51. And so think of all the people, all the ones who said, listen, Israel no longer exists. The church must be Israel. So therefore, with your method of interpretation of allegory, you would think, oh, it looks like the church is going to go through the tribulation. Why anyone would still be propagating that, listen, it just comes down to pride. But why anyone would still, you know, propose that the church is Israel, because Israel forsook God and killed Jesus. No. God, all the way through the Old Testament, has physical, literal, land covenant promises with the nation of Israel, independent of them, and to the people of Israel, that he's going to collectively bring them back to God. Now, Charles Brother Haley died in 1962, so he got to see the rebirth of Israel. He got to see those things. He got to see them as a nation. And now the possibility, and there's a possibility in our lifetime, we're going to see a temple. They're pushing hard for it, for a temple. Orthodox Jews are now getting on the Temple Mount area, and they're able to pray now, which hasn't, they haven't been able to do that forever. And so here they're able to get on there now and pray and seek the Lord. And so Revelation 17 and 18 is literal. There is going to be revived Babylon. But you have to understand, in 1979, Saddam Hussein was a politician, came to power in Iraq. And by the way, if you don't realize this now, biblical land of Babylon is in the modern country of Iraq. And he rebuilt, they all know where the city of Babylon is, and he rebuilt the city of Babylon brick by brick. And actually, we have a Marine who was stationed over there who has some pictures. I've shown others pictures of my other Marine buddies who were there during the first Gulf War, of going to Babylon and going to Saddam Hussein's palace there, but then also going to the rebuilt city or the walls of Babylon. And you can see where Saddam Hussein stamped bricks on top of the original bricks of Nebuchadnezzar and said Nebuchadnezzar II. Saddam Hussein fashioned himself as a Nebuchadnezzar II. And in the 80s, before they started a war with Iran, he was offering to the United Nations to move free of charge to the biblical land of Babylon and have the United Nations there. And again, you might only see, desert countries or whatever, but Babylon or Baghdad's a really built-up city. There's skyscrapers there. And since America finally pulled out of Iraq, they have been on a building spree, and they're trying to make tech cities, and they're building like crazy. And so I'm telling you, which I've been saying for 43 years since I've learned all this, is that the world central power will be in modern Iraq, in the biblical land of Babylon. Why? Because the Bible says so. Isaiah chapter 13 and 14 says so. Jeremiah 50 and 51 says it. You say, well, how is that? Don't be like the people who said, no, there's no rapture of the church and there's no Israel because it doesn't exist. Does Israel exist now? So don't sit here and be like the people who didn't believe that Israel would be brought back together as a nation, because people have said, that's never happened before, a country, a nation, a people disassembled and re-brought back together and brought to their own nation. God's going to do it. Here's history. One of the things about me that I'm just a history geek, nerd, whatever you want to call me. I love studying history. It's the only class I would go to sober. In fact, when junior high in my 1 year high school, I made sure my history class was the third period because that was just before lunch, and I wasn't going to show up to the first two periods, and I would show up sober. And I really liked the history because I liked the history teachers. And studying my ancestors, Alexander the Great, just why did he, was he known to conquer the whole known world and died at the age of 30? Because he cried. It says he cried because he had nothing left to conquer. And the thing that I found out after I became a believer, which I found out 43 years ago, which blew my mind about studying the Bible, Alexander the Great mysteriously died because he had plans of rebuilding Babylon, the actual physical Babylon. Genghis Khan wanted to do it. Alexander the Great wanted to do it. All these world dictators. Hitler wanted to do it. Hitler was big on relics and finding religious things. It's not Marvel Comics and Hail Hydra and all of them. No, it's Hitler was doing these things. And he was looking for the Ark of the Covenant. He was looking for, so the things of the Raiders of the Lost Ark, based on some truth there, but that's what Hitler was doing. And was looking for Babylon, was looking for relics, was doing the things, and wanted Adolf Hitler himself, again, had a plan of rebuilding Babylon. But there's this prophecy. If you've read through Isaiah 13 and 14 and Jeremiah 50 and 51, no one will rebuild Babylon. And anyone who tries, God will take out. So now go back through history and study all the history and find out all the world dictators and leaders who became prominent. The Caesars, Alexander the Great, Genghis Khan, Hitler, all these people. There's something satanic that they've wanted to rebuild Babylon. And Saddam Hussein, you know, he's not hanging around anymore, right? Saddam Hussein's not around. They're all taken out. This is why when America was going into Afghanistan, I was like, whoa, stop. Not even the Russians could conquer Afghanistan in the mountains there. And they were trying to get into the Middle East that way. No one's going to come through the Afghani mountains and come in the rest of that known world through the Afghan until God opens up the door. And you're going to see that in Revelation chapter 17, 18, and the rest of the book of Revelation, and Isaiah and Ezekiel. So I'm like, that's just a losing battle right there. It's not going to happen. I mean, I support the troops. I had one, someone says, so you don't support us, support the troops in Afghanistan? I said, I do, but make sure you take care of your buddy next to you. But as far as America going in there, I don't, just pride, thinking we're going to be world power dominating and build kingdom building. It's not going to happen. No one's going to come through. Just as the prophecy in Ezekiel chapter 26 says that Tyre and Sidon will utterly be destroyed, wiped away. They'll be scraping the dust of you. There will be no remembrance of you. We won't even be able to find you. Now, there's a modern Tyre and Sidon in modern day Lebanon today, but it's not on the actual site. They kind of know where it's at. And that prophecy took over 250 years to fulfill. It started with Nebuchadnezzar. He couldn't conquer them. They moved off the shore. They moved a half mile offshore to an island. And then when they broke through the walls, after a 13-year siege, there was nothing to conquer in Tyre and Sidon. They were living on the coast. You can go through all your encyclopedias and find this. This is why many people say the Bible's a forgery, because Ezekiel chapter 26 is in such great detail that encyclopedia writers and history buffs go, oh, this was obviously written after the fact. And it wasn't, because we had the Septuagint 200 years before. The Septuagint is the Greek translation of the Old Testament. Alexander the Great wanted to make sure Nebuchadnezzar and others, they had this. And so we already knew this ahead of time. Alexander the Great comes through about 250 years later, finishes the prophecy. You see, we think lineal. We think prediction, prophecy, prediction, fulfillment, that's it. But God, not in our time frame, is he? So 200 years after Nebuchadnezzar, it took Alexander the Great 9 months to take all the stones, all the walls, everything from Tyre and Sidon, and built a causeway, built a road all the way out to the island that was there in Tyre. Knocks on the door, not one spear, not one arrow, not one catapult says, you're conquered. And they surrendered. But the thing about the word dust, we only have one word for the English language for dust, and that is? There might be a person or two in here, but the Greek word, or where we get the word out of the Greek, is gypsum. That's what we make sheetrock out of. It's a mortar. They literally took the scrape, the dust, the gypsum, and used that and made it as a mortar, made it all the way, made it all the way out and built it. And you can still see this causeway from an aerial view going out to the island of Tyre, but they don't know. And then the other thing is that you will never, ever be rebuilt. Now, where the biblical land of Tyre and Sidon was are these natural hot springs. It's a beautiful, beautiful stretch of land. Haven't been there yet, but it's a beautiful stretch of land. And it should be a resort town. It should be just minerals, just millions and millions of gallons of water and fresh water are just poured into the Mediterranean from there. It's just beautiful. It's lush, whatever. And no one's gone like, no one, even Trump himself hasn't even said, we should build a hotel there or resort. I mean, it is set up, but no one wants to build there. Just us. So you see, that's Ezekiel chapter 26. That is how detailed God's word is. So just as Babylon has played an important role in past history, oh, by the way, with this current administration, pulling out of the UN and the peace accords or the Paris peace accords and the Iran deals. Just get ready, folks. If the city of New York makes all the UN diplomats just pay their parking tickets because they have diplomatic immunity, they'll go bankrupt. There's some small countries that would just go bankrupt. They double and triple park right there at the UN building. And it's there in New York. All it's going to take, I don't know, is some crazy administration to say, well, then you guys need to leave. I'm telling you right now, the UN can leave and go to Babylon, go to Iraq, and say, well, this is the biblical land of the beginning. We can go here. It's still an option for the UN, free of charge, to go to modern-day Iraq, and they would love it. That would give them such, you know, a boost and a build-up there. But it's being developed. You can go look at this is many years ago, the Babylon 2020 project or whatever I think it is, and where they, again, this is back in the early 2000s, they had this project where they were just building up tech companies coming there, finances, everything. That's happening in Iraq to this day. So the UN building that you would see, they all could go to Babylon free charge, but that's in the middle of, you know, what are they going to do there? But they're building a lush hotel or homes, pools, or they're trying to make it inviting there to the day. But all it's going to take, let's look at the European Union. They have a coin. I think it's a $1 euro coin. I've shown you this before. And on it is a woman riding a beast with 10 crowns and horns. And you're like, so either somebody goes, let's just mess with those crazy Christians and those prophecy buffs. Let's just make a coin with a woman riding a beast. But we've seen it with the opening of tunnels in Sweden with satanic things. If you watch that vomitous thing of the Paris Olympics, they're not hiding it. It's all out in the open there. So you can go online, look at the European euro, the $1 silver coin there, whatever it's made out of, and you can see the woman riding the beast. And it is the same figurine that is outside the European Union in The Hague over in Europe. It's right there. And it's just in the open. So it's not going to be a far stretch if someone says the UN's getting kicked out or they're being forced to pay all their parking tickets. Since before the middle 40s, around 48 or 49, it became the United Nations. Before that, it was the League of Nations. So if they're forced to pay all their parking tickets just from 1946, some small countries need to leave because they can't afford that. So what's it to put in somebody's mind to go, you know what? We can go to Iraq. They're going to give us free. And we'll just set up our armies and do that here. So listen, don't get caught up in allegory and thinking that the church is Israel. Israel is the church. Just as fundamentalists like, and I'll give you a whole list of names that I study and research under, by E.W. Bullinger, 1930, all these guys who just said the Bible says, well, then that means if there's going to be a temple and there's going to be an Antichrist and there's going to be a desecration and there's going to be a seven-year tribulation period and it's dealing really with the nation of Israel. That's the whole seven-year tribulation period is dealing with the nation of Israel to collectively bring them back to God and all the other, what does the Bible call them? Earth dwellers. Everyone else left on earth. Then that means Israel will have to be, you know, reclaimed as a nation. Or reestablish the nation. That's why I can tell you, literally, definitively, 280 times the name Babylon, that city, that's used in the Bible. You got to go, that's a lot of usage there. So, again, they play a central role in the future. Babylon will likely become, again, the capital of the Antichrist during the coming seven-year tribulation period. Remember, we're raptured out. As portrayed, again, we see this. Babylon was the most important city in the world for about 2,000 years in the past. And the Bible tells us that she will be revived and brought unto to the end time stage to play a leading role. If you're taking notes, that's Revelation chapter 14, verse 8. Revelation chapter 16, verses 19, and then chapter 17 and 18. End times prophecy demands doesn't request, doesn't nicely, Minnesota nice, ask you. Bible prophecy demands that Babylon be rebuilt and become an important city in the world of the world affairs during the tribulation. If you remember this, Isaiah chapter 13, verse 19 tells us this. Says, Isaiah 13, 19 says, "And Babylon, the beauty of kingdoms, the glory of the Chaldeans' pride, will be as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah." The context of Isaiah 13 is the day of the Lord, the most common Old Testament term for a more widely known term of, again, that tribulation. Further, Babylon has indeed been conquered in the past, but it hasn't been utterly destroyed. But never has it been destroyed cataclysmically, as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. In fact, there are said to be about, in that area of Babylon, about 250,000 people living in Babylon today. So it's not just this dirt brick little city, but it's a major metropolis there, folks. And there's 250,000 people conservatively living there today. Revelation 18, verse 16 and 19 echoes such a sudden destruction from the hand of God. Woe, woe, the great city, for in 1 hour she will be laid waste. The prophecies regarding the Babylon or the city of Babylon have never been fulfilled in the past. It hasn't. That's why when the Thessalonians wrote Paul, says, hey, someone's saying that, you know, the rapture's already happened. And in 2 Thessalonians, Paul says, no, the rapture couldn't have happened because was there an abomination of desolation in the temple? Was there a 7-year tribulation period? Was this a man of perdition in this Antichrist? Was he raised up? Did all these things happen? Was there a great falling away? Was there 100-pound hailstones of fire falling and crashing on people just like all the prophets say? No, that hasn't happened. Then the rapture hasn't happened. And remember this about the rapture. It isn't like, hey, I'm going to help you through the test. I'm going to help you with some of the answers through the test. The prophecy, and again, what Paul says, God will keep you from that testing of the tribulation. So understand, as we read through the book of Revelation, it takes all the prophecies, and it's like a central bus station there, and it's bringing every bus of every prophecy, just think of it, is coming to the central bus station, and you're able to look at everything right there. So he tells us this. Babylon has indeed, again, been conquered. It hasn't been destroyed. The prophecies regarding the city of Babylon have never been fulfilled in the past. And as the encyclopedia, before it really got really out of whack, Britannica, Encyclopedia Britannica, get an actual hard copies, find them in a yard sale or whatever. We should have kept ours, but I gave mine all away because my kids knew everything, so I got rid of them. But those are the things but get an actual, but the stuff online, they've rewritten. But they can show you these things here that Babylon has never, these prophecies have never been fulfilled. And we'll make it clear, in order for these prophecies to be fulfilled, it required the rebuilding of the city of Babylon. Folks, does Israel exist? Is Israel Israel? Has anyone been to Israel with us? You've been there, right? Yeah. So it's there. Do you remember that church I took you to inside the Jaffa Gate and said, those guys right there? They still believe that they're the churches. They believe they're spiritual Israel. They're like, what? We're in Israel. We're in Israel. And they still, and there's still people doing that. So that 1 hour. This is a great, Babylon is in the same general area as ancient Babylon is in present today Iraq. Thus, Babylon is a great future role in history, but will utterly be destroyed in a moment. We're going to get a balcony view for that. So, like I said, when it comes to the rapture of the church, now this musician who's a country star who says he's a Christian, I was watching an interview with him, and now he's going even deeper. He says, now, not only is there an Antichrist, but I'm telling you that we've been fooled. He goes, I believed it. My dad believed it. His granddad believed it. We just grew up believing the rapture of the church. Here's the problem. When you find out more about this musician, he's been churched. He's not reading the Bible for himself. He's been churched. And because he's been churched, he's now trying to find some things in the Bible, and he's finding out he's getting some bad theology. But What? No, no, no. Follow me on this one. Let me help you out there. If there is not the rapture of the church, and this guy is espousing that the church is going to go through the tribulation. Listen, folks, it'll never change. This one principle will never, ever, ever change. It tells you everything you need to know. Write this note down. It's a spiritual app. Follow the money. Christian or not, follow the money. Because they're being told that you're going to go through the tribulation, we're not going to be raptured out, you know what you need to do? You need to prepare. You need to buy this solar-powered generator. You need this disgusting dehydrated food. You need to store up for these things. You need to do this and you like that. And fortunately for us, and you know what? Help me, Jim. If my paper money's no good, why are they going to accept paper money to give me gold? I you're a finance guy, right?
I would just use bullets.
You would just say, yeah, I'm going to invest in lead, brass and lead. But you need gold, you need to diversify, you need this. And I go, if the paper money's no good, why are they going to accept it to give you gold? And I want you to understand, gold's heavy. You got to carry that around. My box of 22 shells are going to get me a dozen eggs. Just going to let you know. And I've already scalped out a whole family of turkeys in my neighborhood. Everyone else in my neighborhood is probably polite or whatever, but they're mine, man. I already got them, man. I throw stuff out. Hey, come visit. Here you go. We have a friendly yard. Here you go. That's my preparation. There you go. Do you understand? Follow the money. When someone's going to tell you that you're going to suffer, you're going to do this, you're going to do that, and you got to be ready, you got to do this, you got to training, you got to get this, you got to get that, and you got to get all these preppers and preppers and preppers. Well, they'll sell it to you. What is the outcome of that? So in other words, what is the outcome of that, the belief that there's no rapture of the church? Or what is that outcome of that belief that the church is Israel? When Israel, we've been to Israel, is real, and you're still espousing that, it'll just come down to follow the money. They'll be able to sell you something. So woe, woe to that great city. I'm telling you, according to the Bible, and I'm taking it literally, that Babylon will be revived. Whether the UN goes there or not, I just use the UN as an example because in Iraq, they want the UN to just transfer over there and they will give them everything there. But, you know, there's a reason why they want to meet in New York. They've got Prime. They've got pizza. They got Chinatown. They got Little Italy. They got Delancey Street. Great. Knish. I mean, the food's better. I tell me, in New York. But not everyone's going to enjoy a falafel or shawarma. But I enjoy those too. And tacos. Oh, my goodness. Tacos. Queens alone in New York. It's just, empanadas. Oh, my goodness. Anyways, listen, Babylon is pictured in Revelation 17, 18, as the source of ungodly government and economics. So again, if you've read through Revelation 17, 18, I'm not telling anything new here. Virtually all unrighteousness and end time aspects of society are again, derived from a Babylonian source. Folks, it's all paganish. Easter, Ishtar. If you look, if you read through your history, you say that Constantine in 303 AD won the Battle of Constantinople. And he's the one who wrote the Edict of Tolerance. In other words, there's no more, 303 AD, no more persecution of Christians. And he says, if I win this battle from the east to the west, so there's Eastern Orthodox Church now, and the west is the Roman Catholicism. And he says, if I win, this battle will be a Christian nation. And the history tells us that he saw a sign, a cross in the sky. So what do you think a cross is? Just the old wooden cross? No. What he saw was an ankh. It's a cross with a bubble head on it. It's an old pagan Babylonian. It's used in Egyptian. It's pagan all the way from Babylon. That's what he saw. In fact, when you see the vicar, not the Antichrist, but instead of the vicar of Christ in the Roman Catholic Church, his staff that he's going, what's on top of that? It's the ankh. It's not the it's a cross, but it has that little bubble head on it. That's called an ankh. And that's Babylonianish. You see all these things. That is what he says he saw, a cross in the sky. He says, now we're all Christian. And then he marches his Roman legions through the water and says, you're all baptized now. We're all Christians. And whee! Then they changed a bunch of holidays to appease everybody, and you just go from there. That is what they're saying. And it was his son worshiping heathen mother who went to Israel, Helena, and went and established all what is now the Catholic churches and all these biblical, what she says is a biblical site. She took tradition and says, yes, this is where Jesus was born. And that's when the feeding of the 5,000 Adam. She went over and looked at all these sites and said, yeah, that's where it is. But she never had a testimony of accepting Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. She was used. Oh, wait a minute. Did you hear follow the money? She was used by her son to enslave people in religion, and they would give tribute to that. Listen, it tells us in chapter 18 and 17 and 18 Revelation, as again, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. As the mother of false religion, Babylon is the source from which arises false Christianity in its own day, certainly during the tribulation. Streams of apostate Christians, Roman Catholicism, Eastern Orthodox, and liberal Protestants will converge in this ecclesiastical, or whatever, this ecclesia, Babylonian, Revelation 17. There'll be, again, it's all, everything's leading to a one world government and a one world religion. And so here in Revelation 17, John describes a vision in two parts. The first part of the vision, a woman identified as Babylon. She is a city of extreme wealth, and that controls peoples, multitudes, nations, and languages. That's Revelation chapter 17, verses 5 and 15. She is the literal rebuilt city of Babylon. And these, again, these will all continue in their deceptive roles. But will experience God's judgment during the end of the tribulation. The same opinion, again, we see this in Revelation 18, this commercial Babylon. Again, it's going to be this whole thing of just follow the money. This commercial Babylon will be one, and again, buying, selling, trading. Down through church history, most Bible interpreters have thought that Babylon was some kind of code word for some earthly or entity that is like the Roman Empire, Catholicism, apostate Christianity, or even the United States or Great Britain. But I'm going to tell you, I believe that just like Israel always refers to Israel in the Bible, so also Babylon also refers to America. No, Babylon, right? First of all, I believe that the book of Revelation, again, is this big bus station, central bus station. I don't know if you've ever, not so much here in the United States, but you go around the world and there's a central bus station. Those things, those places are cool. And all the buses come in and all they go out. And so it's bringing all the old Revelation. And my best understanding is it brings all the prophecies together in one book and puts them in sequential order. There's all these prophecies throughout it, but it puts them in order. The Old Testament prophecies are scattered throughout the book of Moses. I like this quote. And the various prophets and it would have been impossible to develop these prophecies in any chronological sequence of events. The value of the book of Revelation is not that it provides new information. There's not one thing new in the book of Revelation. But rather it takes the scattered Old Testament prophecies and puts them in chronological order so that the sequence of events can be determined. That's the book of Revelation. When you study what God says about Babylon in the book of Revelation, it's clear that those prophecies have not been fulfilled through past events. Therefore, they must be fulfilled through future events as noted in Revelation, Revelation 17 and 18, which speak extensively about Babylon, and have many allusions to such Old Testament prophecies about Babylon, such as Isaiah 13 and 14, Jeremiah 50, 51. And Caleb, can you bring up Zechariah chapter 5, verses 5 through 11? And I would hope you would underline these things, Zechariah 5 through 11. And then the angel who talked with me came out and said to me, Lift your eyes now and see what this is that goes forth. So I asked, what is it? And he said, it is a basket that is going forth. He also said, this is their remembrance throughout the... Did you cut off the? The earth. There you go. Very good. Here is a lead disc lifted up. And this is a woman sitting inside the basket. Then he said, this is wickedness. And he thrust her down into the basket and threw the lead cover over its mouth. Then I raised my eyes and looked, and there were two women coming with the wind in their wings, for they had wings, that the wings of a stork. And they lifted up their basket between earth and heaven. And so said the angel who talked with me, where are they carrying the basket? And he said to me, to build a house for it in the land of Shinar. By the way, that's saying Babylon. That's where Babylon is, in the land of Shinar. When it is ready, the basket will be set there on its base. See, we only have one word for Shinar, which is, but if you read through the Old Testament, Shinar is Babylon. That's Zechariah chapter 5, verse 11. We see that happening here in Revelation chapter 17 and 18. Well, preterists, people who believe that the tribulation is going to happen, and then after the tribulation will be the rapture of the church, and then there'll be a new heavens and a new earth, if there's a rapture at all. And they scoff, and they would say, Babylon. I mean, it doesn't exist. It's sand. No, it's not. Go do a search. Go do a search and look at modern Babylon. Don't look at the war pictures and stuff. Look at Baghdad. Look at Shinar. Look at the biblical land of Babylon. Look at the city, what it looks like to this day. Should we expect a reconstituted Babylon in the future based on events described in the book of Revelation? The answer is yes. But do you see how they're coming from? They're like, I'm an authority. I've studied this. This has never happened before. Israel. Do you not know that Israel's in the news every day? And those that see this correlation between current events and God's preparation for the coming tribulation period is... they'll say, well, you're just looking at the newscasts. They said that you're not reading through the Bible through the lens of current events. I contend that we can look at the current events through the Bible. I don't look at the Bible through current events. I read the Bible, and I can tell you current events. For many years, the literal interpreters, or the literal interpreters, such as myself, of Bible prophecy have taught that Israel must return to the land before the tribulation based upon their understanding of the prophetic timetable. That has come to pass, and again, the founding, May 14th, 91, they're back in their land. Are they not back in their land? And so here, those in the past, before 1948, did not believe this based upon what the newspapers or reporters or what people say. Instead, they believed it because the Bible said so. That's why the literal. It wasn't because of that. When Samuel Clemens, aka Mark Twain, went to Israel, he says, I don't see what they see in the Bible. And he mocked the Bible. It's a desolate land. It's this. He'd been to Jerusalem. I don't know what you see in this. How would this would ever be a nation again? And so there, the writer of, you know, Huckleberry Finn and Tom Sawyer, Samuel Clemens, aka Mark Twain, it discouraged a lot of people because you're looking at it right now. It is so. Listen, if you go to the basement of the coffee house, that's where our church offices and storage are at. And it's just funny because now these walls are being built and people have said, wow, it's a really good thing. It's kind of lucky that those lights are where they're at because these walls went up and there's lighting in these rooms now. Yeah, really lucky. You see, I could go because I have construction experience and I can go down and look at that basement. I said, I know exactly where all these walls are going to be. Thus is when I put in the new lights in the basement, I put them, and even the electrician who was putting them in for me go, I don't know why you're putting them here. Yeah, I do. I don't know why you have lights here and lights here, lights here. Well, now there's walls up, and what a coincidence, there's lights there. If I can do that, if I can look at a blank slate, it's like the house we live in right now. Kimberly's like, this is our house. We love it. I look at the house like, there's a lot of work I'm going to have to do. The guy who was there before fancied himself a carpenter and a handyman. I'm like, no, that's going to go. Oh, all right. But she loves it. I love it. I love the house too. Now, but I mean, But you can look at it. And my wife's the same way. Whenever she picks paints and she's going to visit, she scares me. To this day, I walk in like, I'm just going to leave. I'll wait till it's done. This, I'm frightening. But yet when she's finished with the paint job, oh, it's beautiful. She's got to go through the abuse I put her through ahead of time, but she already knows it. But listen, they look at what's happening now and they try to interpret the Bible. I'm telling you, Babylon will be restored because these prophecies, all the other prophecies happen. In the same way, there was a prophecy students have also taught for many years that there will be a revived Roman Empire and the need for rebuilding of the city of Babylon, since these entities will play a specific role in the future time of the Great Tribulation. Again, before Saddam Hussein rose to power in 1979, May of 1979, by the way, in which he argued for a future rebuilding of Babylon, well before his time, there was developing a loud chorus of Bible students. Again, Haley's Bible Handbook, he was one of them, who contended that the Bible predicts a future rebuilding of the city of Babylon on the Euphrates River. Do you know where Babylon, where 250,000 people live right now? On the river, Euphrates River. Again, I have a library and I can show you some things here. But Revelation 17, 18, this is also, again, included in the following. B.W. Newton, I can give you these notes, 1853, he said Babylon's going to be rebuilt. Not only is Babylon going to be rebuilt, but so is Israel. Robert Covet, 1861. Is 1861 before May 14, 1948? G.H. Pemmer, 1888. J.A. Seiss, 1900. Clarence Larkin, 1918. E.W. Bullinger, that's my boy, Witness in the Stars, he wrote that book, 1930. William R. Newell, 1935. F.C. Jennings, 1937. David L. Cooper, 1942. G.H. Lang, 1945. Brother Haley from Haley's Bible Handbook, Merle F. Unger, Vine's Expository Dictionaries. All these guys said, listen, this is what the Bible said. If we're going to take it literally. And why is that important? Since the literal Babylon will have a role in the coming tribulation, it makes sense that the current wars that we see that's happening in the Middle East, they're not going to destroy Babylon. Most certainly, again. So why? And I just don't hope. So this plays into Sunday's message on the resurrection. The Bible is literal. The 372 literal detailed prophecies on the birth, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Of not only that, but what his name would be called and where he would grow up and what he would be called and what he would look like, or he would be uncommonly wouldn't able to, and all his exploits and everything that he would be doing. 372 detailed. If one of those details was wrong, then you can't trust it. And for literally, when God says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever shall believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. I wonder what that means. Do you know some people believe that, well, that's for the elect. Because they say only those who are going to go to heaven who are saved, and all those who are going to go to hell are going to go to hell. What is the outcome of that false theology? Why do you fight so hard for that? Well, I'll tell you why people fight so hard for that. Because then there's no accountability for sin. You can say, well, I'm elect, I'm going to heaven, but I'm going to live my life the way I'm going to live it, and I don't have to choose. I can talk the way I want. I can do whatever I want, and because I'm going to heaven anyways. I'm elect. I'm sealed. And so this is the way God made me. Then we have to throw out the Bible. Why does it say that we need to train ourselves in righteousness? That we have to grow in our knowledge of the Lord, and we need to do this to be close to the Lord. Then we just, there's plenty of those verses. And so there's no accountability. So what is the outcome? Well, one is follow the money. And if it's not follow the money, then the second thing, the only thing there could be is that then there's no accountability. I don't have to be responsible for anything. It's just God made me do it, or God says it's God's will, and that's what I'll have to do and do those things. And so here, the literal Bible, the literal interpretation of God's word, it either has all the answers for life and godliness or it has none. And just like as we're going to talk on Sunday, Paul says, if Jesus Christ didn't rise from the dead, then then we believed in vain. We're worse off than anybody else. We're further worse off than anyone else because we've believed in a lie. And the question that I ask people, and I'll share with you, that I'll share with on Sunday is, okay, if everything that I'm saying is not true, how is the world worse off with me no longer being a criminal and doing stuff and hurting people? How is the world worse off because of the life that I've chosen to live? And if there is nothing at the end of this life, then really what will I lose? But if everything that the Bible says is true, which I am following, is true, and you don't choose it, you've lost everything. You've lost eternity. So Christian, it's important for us to know our Bibles. It's important for you to highlight and do these things because people are asking questions and there's musicians out now saying there's no Antichrist, there's no rapture of the church, and none of this, but they'll sell you their whiskey and their cards and their prepping and their food and all these things. That same musician has a whiskey brand, and you know. Then as the Apostle Paul says in Revelation 5, or 1 Corinthians 15, well, then we just eat, drink, and we die and be merry because for tomorrow we die. Worf on Star Trek and the Klingons weren't the first to say that. All right, so. And so here is God's word, and this is what we leave with here tonight, that it has all the answers for life and godliness. And I've just shown you just a snippet. I know so much more. You just see the notes I didn't share with you. There's so much more there that we have an intelligent faith, a legible faith, a common sense, a common spirit-led that I know that Christ Jesus lives. And that's why I can tell you there will be a Babylon. We'll get a balcony view. But maybe tell your family and friends and coworkers who won't be around, say, hey, listen, when you see this happening and all these things are going on, and I can tell you, I think in this administration, it's more likely that the UN's going to get kicked out of New York. What do you think? Everything's, and where would they go? You better start telling people now, all right? Because when it moves to Babylon, you're like, you believe me now? When it goes to Iraq, well, it's not in Babylon. It's in Iraq. It's in this country called Shinar. That's Babylon, folks. All right, so Lord Jesus, just do that work in our lives. We thank you, we praise you, and God, you love us and you care about us, and we just give you this time in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, God bless you. You guys have a great night.